Thank you for choosing Dunkin'.
Can I have a medium hot, please? Two sugars, extra cream.
Okay.
That's it.
You're welcome.
All right. String beans, mashed potatoes, chocolate with sprinkles. Chocolate with sprinkles.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's Tampa's first family of Ford. That means they're family-owned. That means the name on the dealership, Curry, that's a real family, and they're going to give you real family-style service. It all starts at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he's going to take great care of you personally. He's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. You get $500 just in a gift card just for ordering a new vehicle. No deposit. It's so easy right at the website, Ira. And they've got their certified pre-owned vehicle program, which is fantastic. They've upgraded it. And now for less than 1% financing, you can get a certified used vehicle. And of course, remember, Bill Curry Ford is the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, we can't say enough about them. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, GM Sean Sullivan is our Joe Bucks fan draft guru. You can talk football with him and you can listen to his podcast, his best-in-class podcast at joebucksfan.com and out on the platforms. Just search for best-in-class with Sean Sullivan. And Sage, we had a good time on Sunday. It was good to hang out with you and 150 or so Bucks fans at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Big Storm Brewery, that's the home of Florida's best craft beer. That's Big Storm Beer, the Bromosa, the Sunny Key Lime, Wavemaker Amber Ale. So many great Big Storm beers. You can find them at BigStormBrewery.com and your local Big Storm Tap Room in Odessa, Clearwater on 49th Street. Also down in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer. We love Big Storm Beer. Great food. And what a good time it was, Sage.
You know, Steve, I didn't know what to expect. Sunday morning, Buck game, 9:30. People like to sleep in late, Steve, on a Sunday. Other people like to go to church early Sunday morning. Didn't know what to expect. And boy, they just kept coming in, Steve. They needed a bigger parking lot. You said it, 150 people. I got there, you know, 9:03. There's Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, sitting at a table. You came bopping in about 10 minutes later. Classic Sean Sullivan, Steve. I mean, our listeners need to know it. Waiter came by. All right, what do you want on the menu? Sullivan said, bring everything. Bring the whole thing. They had about 8 different items on the breakfast menu. That's Sean Sullivan, Steve. We've been with him at Burns. The guy walks in, he's got his own waiter, and the waiter never asks him what he wants. He just keeps bringing things. And, of course, we've benefited from that. But it was an excellent time, Steve. Got to catch up with some people that we know, haven't seen for a while. Bobby Fenton came by with his son. It's good to see him. And the Bucks played really well. So, all in all, very positive experience at Big Storm.
Yeah, fun times. Bobby Fenton, of course, is the voice of the Free Stretch podcast, 5 years running at joebucksfan.com. Always thoughtful and insightful. Bobby played the game, coached the game, still plays as an adult, Ira, believe it or not. He still gets smacked around and tackle football. So great time. And of course, we're going to talk later about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home, fire, flood, mold, Florida's Elite Restoration. Check them out at floridaselite-restoration.com. Well, Sage, we were all wrong. You, me, Lee D. Kemper, who's not here today, is on his way back from Germany. We were all wrong. We were non-believers that the Bucks had snapped out of their funk in 45 seconds against the Rams. We didn't believe in it. We thought there were things we weren't seeing. But lo and behold, Ira, Antoine Winfield comes back. Devin White has a family tragedy, loses his father on Thursday and plays out of his mind on Sunday. And Akeem Hicks is making a difference. The offense was fantastic. But your thoughts, Sage, and now that we're 34 hours from the win, what are your thoughts?
You know, Steve, I was talking to a couple of people about the Bucks game today, and I didn't like their take on the game. Two of them said, well, Seattle's been exposed. They beat a lot of bad teams. They really weren't that good at 6-3. Well, you know, all right, so they're not a 12-win team, Steve. But I thought the game said more about the Bucks than it did about Seattle. Seattle came in geeked up. Pete Carroll had them ready. They got to town the day before the Bucks did. They slipped on the turf less than the Bucks did. And in my opinion, Steve, they were manhandled. I don't care what the scoreboard said, 21-16. I look at that game at 21-3. You know, the Bucks did some dumb things and let Seattle back in the game. But I never thought Seattle was going to win that game from about, you know, late in the first quarter on. I just didn't think Seattle was going to win that game. And that's a comfortable feeling for a Buck fan. You know, Todd Bowles did a Zoom call, Steve, today. I got 3-4 questions in. I don't know what the heck you were doing, Steve. I don't know if you were on that call or what, but you got blanked, and I got 4 questions in, including one on Jamel Dean that we'll talk about later. But, Steve, you could see the relief on Todd Bowles' face. Probably didn't get much sleep last night. I believe he got home at 2:30 in the morning. I think the plane landed. And so he was on no sleep, but he was a happy camper. And why not, Steve? And I'll tell you why. To me, the thing I took out of Sunday's game, the Bucks were bullies, and they were bullies against the franchise that under Pete Carroll always, you know, talked about their physicality, Seattle, on both sides of the ball. And the Bucks dominated the trenches. Steve, when's the last time we said something like that? The Bucks stopped the run in brilliant fashion against Kenneth Walker. Steve, I don't know if you were on the call today, but I said to Todd Bowles, I said, Todd, I wasn't in your defensive rooms last week, but I guarantee you mentioned Kenneth Walker's name 47 times. He goes, Ira, you got it wrong. It was 99 times. All he talked about was stopping Kenneth Walker from a defensive standpoint. Yeah, Seattle's got a couple of nice receivers. Geno Smith's having a nice season. But for Todd Bowles, everything went through Kenneth Walker. And the Bucks collectively did a fantastic job. The guy carried 10 times. I think his longest run, Steve, was 5 yards. I got to think 5 or 6 of those carries gained 0 or lost yards. And on the other side, Steve, the Bucks ran 44 times. 44 times, Steve. We don't say that very often. And why'd they run 44 times? Because they were effective running it. There's a new sheriff in town in that backfield. His name's Rashad White.
But yeah, I was on the call. I didn't ask any questions. I was having a weird connection a little bit, and I had to laugh when he said 99, not 42 or whatever you quoted.
That's right.
You know, you got a laugh out of him there, but it's true. You know, they focused on Walker and on stopping the run, you know, sort of the fundamentals of Todd Bowles' defense, and rightfully so, considering how successful Seattle had been against the run. And 14 carries, 39 yards. And most of that was from Geno Smith. So Ken Walker, 10 carries, 17 yards. 5 yards was his biggest run. They completely shut him down. Completely. That's very encouraging for the Bucks because they essentially dictated the game defensively. I mean, there's no other way to say it. That's what happened in that game. Now, on the offensive side, Ira, Nick Leverett. I mean, the guy should be the starter. They should name him the starter. He's been consistent. He's proven himself. You could see the confidence that Brady has now in the pocket, and Leverett is the difference there. It's good enough to win games, and it's good enough to be very effective. Julio Jones, Ira, who I can't emphasize enough to fans, is not a hyperbole guy. He's not on social media doing anything. He's all business. That's why Tom Brady loves him. He's a fitness freak, film freak. He'll block. He's all about the team. And he's not going to say, he doesn't say things that fans want to hear. Julio yesterday was talking with great passion about how the offense felt so effortless. Just, you know, the way it was able to dominate with throwing to so many different players and running game was working. Everything was working effortless. And that's a really important word because it felt like it has the last couple of years before this year where, you know, Bucks get the ball and, you know, they're putting up 27, 30 points. And in many games, it was effortless where they'd get out to good leads and play Bucks football. But yesterday they had it. And as far as the number one running back, Sage, I don't know. I mean, we know that Leonard Fournette was benched. He didn't start, but he had plenty of carries. And if he didn't bang his hip up, he would have probably gotten more. And he had 14 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. That's a good day, Ira. But White did steal the show with a couple of electric runs, some angry runs, and a very savvy and unselfish slide at the end of the game where he might have even had a touchdown or at least another 10 yards. But he didn't want to risk the turnover. Game was over. All he had to do was slide. But do you really think White gets the starting nod now? Is he's going to become the go-to guy, or you think it's going to be a little more balanced?
Well, Steve, that slide was a very mature decision for a rookie player. A lot of veterans wouldn't have done it because they wouldn't have been aware of the game situation.
Yep.
And Todd Bowles appreciates that. He appreciates football intelligence because that's what Todd Bowles prided himself on, being a safety in the National Football League with Washington. His savvy, his intelligence. And that's what Rashad White displayed on that play. I think people in the organization are very excited about this kid. The irony is all we heard about was him as a receiver out of the backfield, and he's flashed that a little this year. I don't believe he had a catch yesterday. It's kind of funny the way the game developed. I don't believe he had a catch. Might not have even had a target, Steve.
No, he did. He did not. He did not.
This hip issue, if there needed to be one more thing that should have shoved Fournette out of the way, in a sense, not that he's going to be forgotten. He'll get his carries, but, you know, this hip, I don't know that he'll be 100% for Cleveland. I think White gives him another dimension. Steve, we talked about it yesterday when he burst 29 yards. I believe it was the first 20-yard run by a Buck runner this season. And so that sets off alarm bells at one Buck place. Maybe even among ownership, Steve. Those guys watch everything. And, of course, they were there in Munich. So I think White right now, whether they put him on the depth chart or not, ahead of Fournette, I would call him the number one back from what I saw yesterday. But a lot of teams split backs. In fact, Steve, most teams do. You know, you have a Derrick Henry, you know, or Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon or whatever. But most teams do. Look what's going on in Miami. They had this Raheem Mostert. Stevie was effective. They picked up Jeff Wilson from the 49ers when McCaffrey went to San Francisco. He became expendable. And now Wilson and Mostert. You know, Wilson had a big day yesterday against Cleveland. Carried the ball more than Mostert did. So that's the new normal in the NFL. I think it will be for the Bucs. But, Steve, if you ask me to rank them on a depth chart, I've got the young man number one.
I hear you, Ira. I'm not giving up on Lenny. I might be with you if Leonard Fournette did not also have a good day, but he did. So, you know, maybe the blocking was just better. You know what? They've got to find the right balance, and I'm excited for White. It's great to have the depth, and he may be better than Fournette. You know, it's 1 week at a time. It's a week-to-week league, you know.
Steve, I'm not going to ding Fournette for not being a good quarterback. I won't do it, Steve. I'm not going
to
do it.
We'll get to that, whatever that was, Ira. We'll get to that. You mentioned the Glazers. When Lee joins us next podcast, he'll talk about how the Glazers were out there partying with fans in Germany, drinking beers, taking pictures, hanging out, no security around. And Lee was, you know, chatting with the Glazers. Yeah, they know Joe Buck's fan very well, and a little bit too well. And he'll share the story. Maybe he won't, but I know he told me it's no big deal. But he said to Brian Glazer, he said, "Hey, do you mind if I write about this? Or, you know, cool with that? You know, I don't want to invade your privacy or anything." He's like, "Of course, we're out here partying with the fans. This is great." So
I think he had a conversation with Darcy Glazer, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, he'll tell us about that. I know he did the Glazer circuit. You know, they're very mysterious, Ira, very mysterious. They wouldn't do that in Tampa, but they'll go 4,000 miles away and do that. It's just kind of funny.
The NFL did it upright, Steve, except for the field, which was too slick for my taste. And somebody really could have got hurt, Steve. I think they really dodged one there. But except for that, which I'm not giving the league a pass. They had, you know, two freaking years to get that thing, that field, in pristine condition, and it wasn't. But other than that, Steve, I thought the NFL, from what I can read and hear, did a heck of a job publicizing the game, making it an immersive experience for the fans. Tom Brady was knocked out, and it takes a lot to impress Brady. He's seen it all. You know, tip of the hat to the NFL. They just got to get those fields in line with NFL standards, Steve.
And that sort of brings us to the call with the Bucs having the lead and driving in Seahawks territory to snap it to Fournette and give him an option to look for Brady on out on the flank, running a route to throw him a pass about 25 yards in the air. You know, Fournette gets a little pressure. He never should have thrown the ball. And Brady was covered on top of that. Fournette throws an interception. When's the last time a running back threw an interception? And Brady, you know, tries to break, you know, he talked about it on his podcast tonight. He tried to break up the pass because he saw the interception coming. And of course, he proceeded to fall on his face, fall on his ass. And then I believe he got a penalty for kicking. The way Brady phrased it, he said that the Philly special was not very special. He said, I tried to go up to at least tackle, you know, and try to keep the ball from getting intercepted, and I fell on my face. So in a lot of ways, embarrassment and shame at the same time on the same play. But who made that decision on a slick field? You know, you try a trick play, okay, whatever. The guys didn't read it right. Bad idea. Not the best time. But to send Brady out like that when he could get hurt just had to be the stupidest thing I've seen on a slick field that was evident early in the game.
I'm eager to ask Leftwich about that when he becomes available, which will probably be next week, heading into the Cleveland game, Steve. Probably won't be able to get him this week, but I don't care if they're looking ahead to Cleveland next Thursday. I'm still asking about the Brady play. Steve, you know what's interesting? If the roles were reversed, and I think it's the inexperience of Fournette as a passer that came into play, because if Brady was throwing to Fournette down the left flank and Fournette was covered, Brady throws it into the ground or he throws it 20 feet over guys' heads out of bounds. That's what Brady does. That's why he only had one pick coming into the game. Guys covered, play doesn't work, live another day. Well, Steve, a halfback doesn't think that way. And Fournette's no different than his brethren. Fournette's thinking, I'm going to throw this ball. And I'm directed to throw the ball, and I'm going to throw the ball.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. There's no way. I'm sure that when they practiced that 10 times, there's no way Fournette was ever told to throw the ball unless Brady's wide open. Wide ass open that they decide not to cover. Open. But he wasn't, so he looked over there, saw a defender, and said, all right, I'm throwing a 50-50 ball in a wet field to Tom Brady.
He panicked, Steve. He panicked. Thank God he had a good day running the ball, caught a few balls. So I'm not going to jump on Leonard. Steve, I think I speak for you. Our main beef, not the execution, but the call. No need for it, Steve. They were driving for more points. They were in total command. Don't give the Seahawks a reason to believe. Steve, at that point, don't get fancy. And they did. Of course, Steve, if it works, we're saying brilliant call. But I'm not sure we're saying brilliant call. I still think the call stinks.
Yeah, the call stinks. I don't think we'd be saying that. And unless, of course, it was executed properly, as in completely wide open. They throw Brady a looping ball. He catches it, steps out of bounds, and laughs. Then, yeah. But the way it went down, no, definitely no good. Sage, damage to your home cannot be neglected. Water damage from a flood, storm damage, whatever it is, it can just be a disaster that leads to an even bigger disaster if you don't address it. And that's what Florida's Elite Restoration is for. They are your partner in navigating this process to get your insurance company involved and make sure you get the money that you need to do the repair right. Florida's Elite Restoration does fantastic work. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years on the insurance side of things as an adjuster. So he knows all the games, all the tricks, all the corruption that prevents homeowners from getting their money that they deserve for problems like mold and fire and storm damage, water damage, whatever it is. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you head immediately if you have a problem. And then you call them up 24/7. They're going to come out. They're going to assess everything free and break it all down for you. And if you let them know before you move forward with them after the free assessment, let them know that you're from Ira Kaufman and Joe Bucks fan. You're going to get a $500 discount or $500 to use toward your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call you make when you have a disaster. You know, you find mold in the garage or you come home from Thanksgiving break. There's a leak under the sink and it's a mess. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Regarding the offense, Julio Jones, I think it's obvious that he makes everybody better when he's on the field, no matter what he's doing, because it's that third option that a defense can't handle. And now we've got Cade Otton emerging steadily as a guy who's going to make a big play each game, not just play pretty well, but make a big play each game, which he did against the Rams. He had a big catch down the seam here that led to the final touchdown. I think that's where my focus is on the big play nature. Not of, he's blocking okay and he's catching five passes for 40 yards. The big plays, because if he becomes even somebody that the defense has to think about, it opens the offense up even more.
Steve, I am not worried in the slightest about Brady's targets. I'm not. Mike Evans is Mike Evans. He's had a couple of quiet weeks. Watch him in Cleveland. He might go off. Godwin's getting better. He finally reached the end zone. Steve made a couple of nice catches. The burst by Julio Jones was impressive. It surprised me. As you said, Cade Otton is making an impact, not just as a blocker. On a list of Buck concerns, Brady's weapons are very low on my priority list. And Steve, speaking of the offense, and I can just hear some of our listeners, thousands of listeners, Steve, saying, Sage, will you stop trying making the same point, will you? But Steve, I'm not going to stop, because some people that were at Big Storm yesterday disagreed with me. You gave this group a B-. I think that's too low. And I'll say it again, Steve.
For the year.
Brady's protection has been, I would say, considerably better than anticipated, considering we're replacing Marpet and Hainsey. Considerably better than expected. Steve, I know all about the 2.1 seconds. I know all about it. But my point is very simple, and I don't think you can argue with it. Some of the quarterbacks I watch, Steve, including Mahomes, they get flushed out of the pocket within 1.5 seconds. They're on the run. Somebody breaks free right away. And I don't see that with Tampa Bay. I don't. Very, very rarely have I seen a guy come in unblocked or just absolutely destroy one. And by the way, Donovan Smith bounced back with a solid game yesterday. He had been a little subpar for a couple of weeks. Steve, I still think Brady has nothing, absolutely nothing to complain about the wall in front of him in terms of protection. Zero.
Yeah, and the metric you're talking about is the next-gen stats time to throw, which is from snap to release from the fingertips. Brady leads the league at 2.43 seconds time to throw. You know, of course, scrambling passers who might extend a play to 6-8 seconds a few times a game, that will sometimes extend their time to throw numbers, but also they're not getting rid of it quickly, and you know, a tenth of a second, a quarter of a second matters a lot. So Brady for the year...
Steve, I guarantee he's one of the least pressured quarterbacks in the league. I guarantee.
Well, he was hit just once in that game yesterday, which is extraordinary. Once. No sacks, one hit. I mean, you don't do better than that. And a lot of this comes back to Leverett. He's made a difference. And obviously, Hainsey's settled into his role, but the other guys are the same. And if the running game's there a little bit, then they've got play action is back and there's less stress. Let me tell you what Brady said today, Ira, because it's important. It sort of brings it all together. You know, he was asked about the team and is everything fixed now? He went right back to the running game, and that he doesn't want to be throwing the ball all those times. You know, he actually admitted that, and that what we saw was a winning template is what he called it. Template for winning in this game. So he thought it was the best that they had played all year. And that they still, you know, still leave stuff on the field, et cetera. But I thought it was interesting that he said he doesn't want to throw that much, and the play action is a beautiful thing. And they were barking all day on ESPN, Ira, about how on play action Brady statistically, using their QBR and some other metrics, is the best quarterback in the league.
My sweet spot, because I don't think they're going to run the ball 44 times very often, not very often, but they were so damn effective. In Munich, that I didn't blame Leftwich one bit. Steve, my sweet spot, maybe 35, 36 pass attempts. Yesterday, I believe he had 30. I 45, 50, that's not what Brady wants. It's not. That's not a winning template all that often. It's not. 35, 37, that's kind of a sweet spot for me, Steve. By the way.
Quote real quick, Ira, when you say sweet spot, when you're not talking football, is that a jelly donut or a Bavarian cream?
Chocolate with sprinkles. Chocolate with sprinkles. The old standby.
Got it.
Steve, a guy that he impressed me yesterday. He popped out on me. He's a work in progress. He's still a little unpolished. But, Steve, Joe Tryon Shayinka was all over the place, especially in the first half. On the pass rush, he flashed. You know, Steve, there's a lot to work with there. He's not there yet, but, boy, I see a lot of potential there.
I thought it was interesting that Todd Bowles praised Jason Light today, that he brings in these rookies consistently who, yeah, while they all have varying ability, mentally they're right, that the moments aren't too big for them, game's not too big for them, they have the right mentality. It's really proven itself over the years. I mean, look at Bowles in 2019. Jason Light handed him three rookies. Here, take Jamel Dean, take Murphy Bunting, take Mike Edwards, and make something happen back there. And they're mentally ready, but you figure out the X's and O's and get the most out of each player. And look at what we're seeing again with rookies on defense and young players. They're coming along. They have their struggles, but nothing seems to be too big for these guys. And I know you're very impressed with Dean. And you look at even on the offensive side of the ball and the kicker, Jake Camarda, who's just ridiculous. You know, and you got Kate Otten, no problem. Game's not too big for him. Rashad White, very mature guy for a rookie. Yep. And Logan Hall, he's not doing a ton, but he is out there playing every day on a good defense. Nobody's calling him out for being lousy.
You know, Dean, to me, he's emerged from that pack. The three corners, you know, not that Carlton Davis has had a bad year, but I think Dean's making the most advancement. He's going to get paid next year, and I think he's going to get paid right here in Tampa, especially if Bowles has a major say in it, and why wouldn't he? He's really grown on Todd Bowles, who knows a little something about playing defensive back in the National Football League. Steve, every time I look up at Dean covering a guy, he's right there. I don't see breakdowns. Everybody's going to get beat, but he's contesting the ball, Steve. It's a contested pass. I've been very impressed with Dean. I think he's been their best corner this year.
Absolutely. And, he's got the speed. He's got the size. You know, he came into the league with injury concerns, but he's learned and he's grown. He's not very good in zone coverage, but the Bucs don't really run a zone scheme, or at least they shouldn't as much as they do sometimes. But you know, he's a great fit for the defense, and they've done a great job developing him. What I was leading to...
He's looking, Steve, he's looking like another good light draft pick.
Oh, gosh, Ira, there are so many when you really dive into it and be realistic about how guys are performing from their round. There's a ton of great picks. And
Steve, isn't that interesting how light's drafts have improved dramatically? I think it started in 18, to be fair, the year before Arians came with this coaching staff. But Steve, we've talked about it. Coaching matters in terms of the draft and bringing out the best in the guys that Light and his scouts bring to the table. It's been dramatic.
Oh, it's dramatic, and it's a huge bonus for your team when you can get rookies to produce. You look at the good teams, they're going to have young players producing, or the teams that make the biggest leaps are the ones who, hey, we've got three rookies starting, and they're having an impact. You know, it's great what they've been able to accomplish. What I wanted to finish, Ira, I looked it up, and then I got cut off here. Like I said, Brady, time to throw, 2.43 seconds. That's the lowest mark in the league. Speaks to his release and his anticipation and him keeping himself safe and being a pocket passer. Well, for this weekend's games, not counting Monday night, Brady is middle of the pack. He was jumped it up almost a half a second to 2.78 seconds time to throw. So that just illustrates how much more time he had in the pocket, thanks to that running game and thanks to some great pass protection, that he took a lot more time. He took as much time as other guys who always take a lot of time. So
that's right. And Steve, having done that, he got hit once, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
He got hit once.
Yeah. So really an incredible performance. And look at what Light's done with guards and offensive linemen filling in over the years Aaron Stinney stepping in a Super Bowl, and now here comes Nick Leverett. That's not too big for him, no problem. Ali Marpet, you know, raving 3 weeks ago saying, I've never seen a guy so energetic and focused for an NFL debut. And 3 weeks later, he looks like a starting quality guard. It's exciting, Sage. You know, the division got worse with the Saints losing to Pittsburgh. You know, maybe they end up with a new coach with a complete implosion there in New Orleans. Atlanta, of course, we knew that they lost on Thursday. The Bucs have not only a game lead, but they've got the tiebreaker edge. And they've only got two challenging games remaining on paper. Cincinnati at home and the 49ers on the road. If the Bucs can't go 5-2, based on what we've seen this weekend and with the bye week and everything, if they can't go 5-2 and finish 10-7, then there's a serious problem, probably, at least one that's worse than what we think exists right now. Where do you think they finish at this point, Ira?
The way they're playing and the schedule, the way it lays out. And of course, Steve, it's always tough to figure before the season starts because nobody knew the Eagles were going to be this good and the Giants and the Jets. But, Steve, now we kind of know. You know, we're 9-10 weeks in. So we know what the strength of schedule looks like. Steve, if they don't win 10 games, I think it would be disappointing. Now, it's still going to be good enough to win this division. I've called it a wretched division. Steve, you can come up with your own name. But I think wretched's pretty good because the Saints are going nowhere. Atlanta's come back to earth, and, you know, Carolina's Carolina. So the Bucs are going to win this division. I'd like them to win it with 10 or 11 wins and not 9-8. 9-8's ugly, Steve. It's ugly. Nobody will remember that if they have a nice playoff run, but it is ugly. I think the path is clear for the Bucs. That trip to San Francisco, you know, San Jose is going to be tough. You know, I like the Niners. I think they're a quality team. Going to be a tough one out there. Cincinnati could put up a lot of points in a hurry, but you're right. I mean, they got Atlanta. They got Carolina. They got another game with the Saints. And Cleveland doesn't scare me, Steve, coming out of the bye. They certainly don't scare me. So I like where the Bucs are right now, and I like it a lot better than I did 2 weeks ago.
And just to round it out, they've got the Cardinals, who are a mess. They've got them on Christmas night. But I'll do the Russo cadence. I'll do the Russo cadence. All right, here we go.
All right.
So, Ira, Buccaneers 5-5. Can they get that number 3 seed? Do they beat out Seattle or the 49ers for that 3 seed, Ira?
They absolutely could beat out Seattle because I think the Niners will win the division. Now they got a tiebreaker on Seattle. They're a game behind Seattle. Seattle's got some tough games left. I think their schedule is more challenging than Tampa Bay's. So I think the Bucs win the division, grab the number 3 seed, which means I believe that they would play the 6th seed. Steve, am I correct? And the 2 would play the 7, and the 4 would play the 5. So, and the Bucs would be at home for the opening week. So, look, Steve, they're getting healthy. All of a sudden, things are looking a lot brighter at one Buc place.
All right, so Ira, you think they get the 3 seed. Can they beat the Giants in the playoffs?
Of course.
Can they beat the Cowboys? Can they beat the Cowboys in the playoffs?
I'll tell you why they can beat the Giants. Because Todd Bowles mentioned Kenneth Walker 99 times last week, according to Todd Bowles in his defensive meetings. And if they play the Giants, and the game would be in Tampa, assuming the Giants don't win the division, Bowles will mention Saquon Barkley 133 times that week. 133. He's not going to scream about Daniel Jones. He's not going to scream about their receivers, who are not very good, or their offensive line. He's going to talk about Barkley. Barkley sets the tone. It's all about Barkley. And we just saw what they did with Kenneth Walker. I think Barkley's better than Walker. I'm not trying to knock Walker, but Barkley's been fantastic this season. Fantastic. I think he carried 33 times the other day, Steve. 33. And got a $150 for his effort. So, of course, they can beat the Giants and Daniel Jones. Although, Steve, last couple of times they played the Giants, been very competitive.
Ira, going back to the Bucs offense, do you feel like the passing game is where it needs to be? Or are you looking at Mike Evans and Godwin and Jones and seeing, hey, all these guys can play better? Scotty Miller, maybe he'll stop jumping one of these days. What are you seeing as far as how much more they can improve? And do you think that this game, what you watched yesterday, and the bye week, and the Bucks status, do you think the call goes out to Gronk?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the sense of urgency is nearly what it was, because Kate Otten's coming along. Now, look, if I can get Gronkowski, I'm taking him. He helps you blocking. He helps you in the red zone. Bucks are improving in the red zone. Otten's coming on. But it's Gronkowski. Let's not put Kate Otten on a bus than Canton, like we know Gronkowski's getting. But I think it's a long shot, Steve. It's a long shot. And I think the emergence of Otten has been very pleasant. Steve, to answer your point about how far this offense can still develop, I saw a very promising development in Munich, and that is the burst, the unexpected burst, in my mind, from Julio Jones after he caught that ball. Now, look, he was wide ass open, but I thought he'd be tackled at the 15 or the 10, and he wasn't. He looked damn close to Antonio Brown on that play. That's who he looked like, turning on the Jets and smelling the end zone. And nobody reached the end zone like Antonio Brown in his prime among NFL wide receivers. That's why he's got a credible Hall of Fame case to be made, Antonio Brown. So does Julio Jones, of course. And I believe Julio Jones will get that bust. That's what's been missing, turning, you know, relatively short passes, yards after catch, scoring on them. They haven't had much of that. I don't expect too much of that out of Mike Evans. Godwin used to be good at it, Steve. He's not quite there yet. And to see Julio Jones do it, and there's no reason to think Jones is not going to play in Cleveland in a couple of weeks, and perhaps be even more close to 100%. That's very hopeful for Buck fans that there can be explosive plays, not just those 12-yard completions, explosive plays in the passing game. It's really been missing most of the season.
Sage, before we head out, I want to mention Devin White. Mentioned it before, but we didn't really talk about it at all. His father dies on Thursday, and we learned today that it's sort of a bizarre situation where he was incarcerated at the time of his death, and it's being looked into. He was, I guess, awaiting federal charges on something. I don't know what. And, you know, just who knows what exactly what was going on, but it's not important. But the context is that, you know, this was a shock for Devin White, and especially if they don't really know what happened and it's being investigated, you know, and he decides to go to with the team to play, is on the way to the game. What does this do for Devin White with his teammates? You know, we understand, you know, it's a great story from the standpoint of him performing well, sad story, and, you know, an awful situation. His father was only 45 years old. But where do you see this, where it lands Devin White among his teammates and their respect of him?
We got to give our due respect to number 45, Steve. We ripped him. We were one of many. We know what Warren Sapp said about him. Now, you know, we don't know if Devin White's play and his demeanor and his reaction to a tragedy is enough to, you know, convince Warren Sapp that he might have been wrong about Devin White. But we do have to say, and I think he has had to do some repair work with his teammates in that room. I do think that's true. Todd Bowles has been very careful about how to handle Devin White's play publicly. He's been very hesitant to say that he can play a lot better, even though I think in private he got his points across to Devin White. But, you know, we ripped him, and now we got to say he played a whale of a game on Sunday under extreme circumstances. I think everybody in that locker room is looking at him right now with the utmost respect. Ain't nobody in that room wanting to tear the C off Devin White. And I think the best is yet to come. If he plays like that the rest of the way, Steve, this defense, which wasn't playing all that bad while White was struggling, they were playing okay. Steve, the last 2 weeks, the defense has been out of sight. That's a very good harbinger for the next seven games.
It'll be interesting to see you know, what players have to say as time goes on about White. Tom Brady was asked on his show tonight, Ira Monday, he was asked about criticism from fans and scrutiny and all that, and how do you deal with that. Brady said, very interestingly, he said that, you know, I learned over time that people aren't cheering for me, you know? And yes, he knows he's got some Tom Brady groupies and fans, and we love Tom Brady. We don't care about anything else. But in total, you know, collectively, fans are cheering for the team. And if you're not doing so great, they're going to come after you because that's the way it is. You got to develop thick skin. And, you know, he imparts that to guys sometimes. But people have to understand that they're not there to cheer for you. They're there to cheer for the team. So you just have to care about the team and go about your business. And, you know, White had some struggles with that earlier. But, you know, obviously he never didn't care for his team. Some interesting lessons that have been learned this season. And I think Brady's happy to teach them.
I think Devin White was hurt by some of the criticism. I mean, let's be honest, Dave. The criticism was acute. It was. You got a Hall of Fame player like Warren Sapp pulling no punches, you know, making strong statements about your play and questioning your effort. I think it really did upset Devin White. But, Steve, to be fair, he took the high road. He didn't push back directly on Sapp. He showed maturity, and you got to give it up for him. I like the way he handled the whole situation.
Got a quick announcement, Sage. First, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, that's where you shop for a vehicle, new, used, truck, for F-150, whatever it is. Ira drives a 2020 Ford Escape. He's actually sitting in it right now. BillCurryFord.com. We love our friends at Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer. It's in all the stores. Try a Big Storm Beer. Wavemaker Amber Ale. I just saw some in Fresh Market. Grab some and enjoy it, or get it at your tap rooms. It's in Publix. BigStormBrewery.com. And as we heard from our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, just feel safe knowing that they're there for you 24/7 for your free assessment when you have mold, fire, whatever it is that's going on in your home or your business, at your property. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Sage, I got to let everybody know that you got some good stories coming. If you're listening to this podcast and it's late Monday night or it's Tuesday morning, Sage has got some good work coming this week. We look forward to talking about that later this week, Ira. It's going to be an exciting bye week for us as we talk about some of the news that you're going to be breaking and sharing. And the beat goes on. Seven more games. The Bucks are looking good. Playoffs are certainly likely in the future. And who knows where this team can go.
And Steve, we welcome back our comrade, Lee DeKemper, from Munich. I'm sure he'll share some nice, interesting stories. And I just want to know how much beer he drank.
That's going to be a lot of leaders, as they would say in Germany. A lot of leaders. All right, Sage, get out of here. We will see you next time.